several months back, I began thinking I'd like to leave to this generation as much as I possibly could. Thinking about David served his generation by the will of God and fell on sleep. But ever since that time, it seems that I have been limited in what to leave you. But our times are in the Lord's hands, so we may have tomorrow and next year and the year after. We don't know. And hopefully the great physician, we use the medical field and they're experts and you've got much training. But in the end, it's the great physician using what they give us. So hopefully before long, we'll get back on Wednesday nights. If you'll turn with me to the 47th Psalm, I want to speak to you from verse number 2, referring to our Lord. Last phrase, He is a great King over all the earth. Now, this is close akin to that I've been on for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. I don't know how long back. I don't know. And there will be something said that are repetitious of the last few weeks. But don't sit there thinking, well, the old man's finally lost it now. He's sitting up there repeating himself. No, not yet. That's not true. So maybe it's just the Lord would have you hear again and again the same old truths until they begin to register in your heart, which will in turn keep you in the right way with the right focus of I. Psalm 47, He is a great King over all the earth. You ask where you are, what's your condition, what are your thoughts of Christ? Is He lifted up in your heart and in your mind? Is He becoming to you what the Scriptures teach us that He is? A great King. Well, would you bow with me as we seek His help this day? Our Father, again this morning we approach Thee, and as always it is in and through Christ our Lord. Before Thee we have nothing, no merit to claim, no works say, well, Lord, these make me deserving of Thine ear. We don't have any. So we just come as a poor, needy creature yet with full expectation that our God hears and answers and gives us the request of our hearts. My Father, my request to Thee is that You, Thy Son, by the great work of Thy Spirit, might become high and lifted up and exalted. And we, Thy people, get us above these low, empty thoughts. Call us unto Thyself. And be merciful to the hearers. And as one of the old men said, make us worthy to hear. Make us worthy to speak. And be Thou glorified. Christ our Lord, in His name we pray. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. Now with that thought, terrible. Also translated, dreadful, fearful. But not the God in this century. He's not dreadful. He's not one that we fear facing one day. But He is terrible. Now, only two places I have for you to turn with me. The first one is in Psalm 89, where again the word terrible is used. Same word translated differently in our English. Psalm 89, verse number 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. I long for that day when there is such an awareness of God here that in this assembly God is greatly feared. Not only that, feared, but He's to be had in reverence. Now the word reverence is the same word as terrible. He's to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Now back to Psalm 47. In our text, He is a great King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom He loved. Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And I think you will find in the New Testament His return will be like that, as was His departure. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. 21st chapter of Proverbs said that the king's heart, like the rivers of water, is in the hands of the Lord. Ever how he wants that nation directed, he'll turn the king's heart. God reigneth over the heathen. Don't have to be a saved individual. God reigns. Proverbs 16:1, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So both in his children and over the unbeliever, God reigns. That'll enable you to face anyone or any condition, realizing my God is in heaven and he does whatsoever is pleasing unto him and for my good. And you can in peace venture through day after day, not knowing what might befall you, but knowing my God reigns. So be it. Words unkind, unfriendly, be whatever it might be to you, or the circumstance, no matter how adverse it might seem to you, God reigns. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people were gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. The great God of creation is the one we serve, is the one we bow to, is the one we call Father, our Lord, our beloved. This great King is the one that has ordered all things, set all things, all people, all things in their natural habitat. And he has deemed what is necessary for you and is working out everything in your life for the very best that he has for you. A great king. Isaiah 40:22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers. He stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. When you walk out, it is God that has stretched out over you that beautiful curtain. He spread out that curtain as a tent for us to dwell in. Daniel 4, all the inhabitants are reputed as nothing. Then they are like you walking out, and your only consciousness of an ant, little tiny creature of God, is when you see where that they've made their bed above ground, or when you see them working, or when one bites things or whatever. That's the only time. The billions and billions of them, you walk through the day unconscious of God's little tiny creature. Psalm 147, he tells the number of stars. Again, billions upon billions of stars. He calls them all by name. I think I've told you this probably once or twice, but in 1972, when NASA sent out Voyager 1, Voyager 2 on their journey, Voyager 1 has left our solar system and is speeding through those worlds out there at an unprecedented speed. And it's headed to that distant star, which will take 40,000 years for it to get there. 40,000 years. Now, we named it whatever we named it, but it's like you naming your children. But God calls every one of them. Like as a shepherd watching over his flock, and he knows them all. And he calls them by their name. So God tells the number of stars, and he calls every one of them by their name. Great is the Lord. Great is his understanding and power. His understanding is infinite. You find that in Psalm 147, verse number 4. But folks, listen, with all that and all the other verses that tell you how great God is, how infinite, our views of God are so low, and our thoughts of God arise usually from no source greater than our own minds. And the difficulty I have and I face daily in approaching the scripture or approaching God in prayer is getting above my own natural mentality of who and what God is. My own thoughts and my own images of God formed in me by religion and by my own religious self. It is a difficult work just to come to God all empty and let God manifest himself to you as he is. I've tried several times to find the source of this. I know it came from one of the old archbishops, but in all the research that I could do, in all the search engines I could find, I can't find who it was that said it, but I'll quote it to you. God is above all things presiding. God is beneath all things sustaining. He is outside all things embracing and inside all things fulfilling his will. God is above all but not distant. God is below all but not pressed down. He is within all, but not enclosed. He is outside all, but not excluded. You can't find language like that in our generation. You've got to go back and find those old men, those old women that got above their mentality. And they got to the God of Scripture, this great King. Their thoughts were diminished. And like David said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. Well, there's number one way you know what God thinks about you. And that's for God to tell you. No speculation here. You can't live on that. No, so, or maybe so. God, above all, beneath all, outside all, and in all. Now, because God is infinite, all His attributes, and we only have just a few that are named to us in this inspired book, but all of His attributes, they are as God. His understanding, infinite, without bounds. His power, unlimited. So it is no need for us to fret of what lies ahead for us as a nation. Though as bleak as it seems to be, and the condition in which we seem to be headed, God is infinite in power. He'll raise up and He'll put down those that He wants in power. His mercy is infinite. His love, as I've spoke to you two times on God is love, that's infinite. But you speak about these things today and about the God that is like this, it's little more than hitting the replay button on that that you already know. Just rewind it and the preacher's going over it again. And it has no relevance, it has no weight, it has no significance in our daily life. We think of love as this giant blanket like the curtain spread above us, just covering the earth, like the ozone out there protecting you. Some of you will not remember when we in this land went through this phase of you can't use hairspray, you can't use any kind of sprays because it's destroying the ozone. Well, it's still there. And it's still protecting. And they had what they say discovered a hole in the ozone and it was getting larger and larger. No, it's still there. It's still protecting you from those harmful, ultraviolet ray. It's still up there. But we don't live in an awareness of the purpose or the existence of the ozone. We live outside that thought of what effect it plays in our daily living. And in the day that you and I live in, it's almost as if the love of God goes about silently accomplishing His will if the individual will let Him love them. And God, this great God, will manifest Himself to them if they will let Him. Children, God, this great King of all the earth, this being whose power is unlimited, who could speak the worlds into existence, He is also infinite in all His attributes. Well, except one or two. We say, and this powerful being is limited as to the expression of His heart. Or that He can express His heart, and that be without any effect on the object of His love. Unthinkable. If God ever expresses His love to your heart, you'll know about it. You'll live with that awareness. Now, that's not 24/7 awareness, but you'll live with that awareness. Yet, most professing Christians are living with the notion that God loves them, and the same person can live with few or no thoughts of God whatsoever. Can't be. You express your love to those in your heart. Those that hold your heart, you express your love. And this great God, great King, infinite in all His attributes, overcomes the object of His love. I asked too late this morning. I should have asked earlier so they could have found it for me. But I just thought about it. We sing here about Jesus needing to go through Samaria. And the reason He needed to go through that was because there was a lost sheep down there, and He tracked her wandering ways. So since you got into the world, or let me say, if you now know in your heart, God loves me, ever since you got in this world, God's been tracking your path. And the love of God, moment by moment, day by day, year by year, decade by decade, this great King has been guarding you and keeping you until one day He brought you to that place where He could express His heart. All objects that know anything of the love of God personally, they one day felt in their soul a drawing that they could not rid themselves of. A pursuit. And nothing else mattered. There was this time when this great King began making you aware of an active pursuit. Know how I know that He watched over, that He directed your steps, that He kept you alive, brought you in contact with the gospel? Hebrews 1:14, speaking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? Now listen, who shall be heirs of salvation? And the old hymn, George Matheson, "Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in Thee, and give Thee back the life I owe, that in Thine ocean depths, in Thine ocean depths, in the heart of God, in the ocean depths of God's love, mine might richer, fuller be." That's God, this great King, overcoming all objections you had, overcoming all resistance that you put up, and conquering you one day. Do you think it possible that He, of such power, and magnitude is limited to the expression of his heart, because those that he loves won't let him. You're thinking as a human being. Now you're not thinking of God's thoughts. Do you think that God could love, and that the exhibition of that love, or the recipients of that love, could go through life unaware or unaffected by the love of God? Look, I don't care what you do. You can preach. You can have faith that moves mountains. You can labor tirelessly for the Lord. But Paul said, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. Because the great king I'm talking about makes all objects of his love aware, and they throughout life are affected by that love. Can you imagine? No, we can't. But I'll go on with the question. Can you imagine this great God sitting up there, and all the while he's up there, he's down here, and all the while he's down here, he's over yonder in the farthest parts of the earth, and up there beyond the farthest star, he's all that. All around us, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that God is here? We haven't had the expression, manifestation of that in a long time. Whether we have or not, God's here. Whether you know it or not, God's here. But can you imagine such a God as this, sitting up there hoping Jesus Christ did not die in vain? And that these we little finite creatures will one day make the right choice. You think God's like that? You think God's limited by your little will as to whether he manifests his love to you? Do you think God is limited because you're this great, powerful being that can overcome God? Mm-mm. No. God loves you, but no, leave out the rest. God loves you, and if God loves you, you will be made aware of that love. And all that are made aware of that love, step by step, we're led into the throne room, where there sits not only our mediator, but there sits this great king upon the throne, ruling and reigning over all. Now, one last verse I ask you to turn to. Isaiah 62. I hope. Isaiah chapter number 62. and verse number 1. For Zion's sake, my church, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. So, one day, God is going to awaken us to a height that we've never been. And one day, the light of this great King is going to shine within our souls, and we're going to find out about our salvation. You didn't decide. You didn't choose. Of course you did accept. But that's only after God gave you life, God quickened you. That's only after the love of God pursued you. He caught you. The first thing about the love of God, He made you aware that you were a sinner. But one day, the righteousness of Christ covering you, the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit working within you, and the great salvation imparted, it's going to be like a burning lamp. A lamp carries its own evidence. Now back in my early years, we had two or three old kerosene lamps when the power went out that they'd have to get and trim the wick. Hold off on that. They'd have to get out. They kept plenty of oil in them for such occasions. And they'd have to light the wick. And they'd have to adjust it so that it was giving off the maximum amount of light without any smoke. But if the wick was not trimmed properly, smoke would come out of the globe. So they'd have to shut it off and they'd have to trim that wick. And one day, our little lamps, we're going to make sure that the oil is sufficient and that the wick is trimmed. We're going to make sure, because God, the Holy Ghost, is working in your heart, and that they're burning. He's going to light that so that nobody can deny. Nobody puts their lamp under some covering. It's going to shine. We move in and out of society and nobody knows that we're a Christian. We don't have any effect upon people. Larry and I were talking before the service, and I told him one day, whether we're here or not, God's going to raise up a voice that comes out of the darkness of the night saying, "The bridegroom cometh." And in that voice, God is going to awaken all of those virgins and those five that make up His church. And they arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish virgins saw, "We don't have oil sufficient." They went to the wise, the lamp giving off its own evidence there, burning brightly. They went to the wise virgins who were now awakened, and they trimmed their lamps, and their lamps were burning, and the foolish went and said, "Give us of your oil." One day, again, this whole world's going to know who the church is, who you are. Might not be pleasant for you, but your lamp's going to burn and give off that light. That's what God said here. I'm not going to rest until Zion's righteousness and salvation go forth as a lamp that burneth. Old Latin saying is, honor derives its value from the dignity of him who confers it. Now I could pat you on the back and say you did a good job. Or say we're going to have a special day when we're going to honor you because of your labor. That's nothing. I mean, I'm no one to pass that law. But if the great King confers honor upon you, that's my child. I've put up with others falsely accusing, ridiculing, and now I'm going to take action against all that have touched mine and mine. God bestows honor. I go see to it that your salvation and your righteousness goes out like a burning lamp, goes forth as a burning lamp. Your salvation, your righteousness burns, gives off light because of the dignity of the one that bestowed that, conferred it upon you. Get out your lamp. Trim it. Make sure this is of God. God gave it to me. God, the great God, the head of the church, magnifies his being, his person, your Savior, your Master, your Lord, your friend, your husband, to every member that makes up his bride. You know anything about relationship to a living Savior, to a living Master, to a living Lord, to a living friend, to a living husband? You know anything about that? Read of those Paul commends, especially in the last chapter of Romans, chapter number 16. As he closed out his epistle, they weren't bowed down under some heavy yoke. They found out that Christ's yoke is easy, burdens light. They found out that yoke to him, they could have no greater honor bestowed upon them. They found out in the service of their master that he wasn't a hard taskmaster like that in Egypt, that the Israelites never came in contact with. He sat on a throne. No, these in Romans 16, they had a master that they came in living contact with, as Tim was talking about, as an individual. Not the church collectively, but the individuals that make up the church. They were brought into a living union. And their taskmaster wasn't harsh. He was the kindest, most gentle, loving master that a man could ever have. And their service wasn't in drudgery. It wasn't a chore, but in love. because they'd been united to the great God, King, Husband, Head of the Church. Their service was in dependence on their Lord, for they kept up daily communion. I'll ask you afresh the question that was asked, where are you? Daily communion. Are those just words that trickled off your head? Or do they have a little meaning there? They drew from Him their strength, their wisdom, their ability to do, their humility, because He had overcome their heart, because they had been brought into union with this great King. Psalm 26, don't turn. With my soul have I desired Thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit will I seek Thee early. She's going through a night season, a dark time. The one that loved her was seemingly at a distance, probably closer to her than when she realized it. But there was this felt absence. There was this missing communion. There was this lack of an expression of His love. And folk, I've just described the condition that most live in. Don't. If you're missing communion, holy fellowship, if you're missing the great King sitting there with a heart infinite and will express it to you. But now, depart a little bit and put the responsibility on you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. To him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. And I go back and back and back again, depending on nothing more than the God who promised. It is not said of Abraham, he believed that verse. He believed what God said, but it said he believed God. And then everything else will fall in place. He'll turn none away. If you're lacking fellowship, if you're lacking that expression of His heart, holy communion, daily communion, if you're lacking these things, all you got to do is go. What's wrong? Or get to Him. Whatever it costs you, get to Him. And when you get there, you begin all these images and all these false things that we hold of God, they begin falling off little by little, year by year, until you see what God thinks. You're hearing what God said. You're walking with the living God. Arise, children. Well, I'm too great a sinner. Oh, that's the reason you should. Well, I've put it off so long, I fear God will not. No, that's the reason you should. Get up and in heart, run afresh to Him. May you find Him continually to be magnified in your heart and in a mind being sanctified. Let the mind of Christ dwell in you.